A hand of praise. You know, we all need that encouragement. And I just want to thank all of you because I wouldn't be able to walk in the faith that I have without your encouragement. So, you know, with your giving and your support, it allows me to move forward. You know, the Lord gave me a scripture verse in the Bible, which really touched my heart. And if anybody ever has a chance to read it, it's in 1 Corinthians, I think, chapter 9, and it says about giving and the call of the ministry, but as it comes down to the very end, it speaks about faith and how the minister of God really truly walks by faith and the gospel supports his faith. And so I just want to thank all of you for all that you have done and is allowing the Lord to continue to use us as we move forward. Because without you and all, you know, of course, I'm sure God will provide, but he makes it easier when you guys help too. So, so let's give the Lord a hand of praise for yourselves. Amen? Amen. I do have these prayer cloths, and they are very effective, so I want you to please, at the end of the service, grab them and give them out. We've gotten so many testimonies about them, and welcome. And, you know, I want you to continue to pass these out because there are tremendous testimonies. The last testimony that we received was a woman who received one, and her husband was out of work for almost 2 years. As soon as they received it, her husband went back to work. They ended up getting the dog back. I mean, there was just one after another, all these little testimonies that happened. And, you know, they might be little ones like the dog coming back home or whatever, but that really changed that person's life. She wasn't even caring about the husband that went to work for 2 years. She was like, my dog came back. So it was like, you know, whatever enlightens the individuals to be able to see God is the greatest gift that anybody can ask for. With that being said, I want the world to realize that there are many gods out there, and we serve a special God, a God of the universe, a God that is universal to all mankind, that dwells within inside of every human being. It's not a religion. It's not a, you know, a man-made thing. It's a supernatural thing, and it's a spirit. And in order to know God, you have to know him in spirit. In order to have a relationship, you have to know and live in spirit. And not many people understand what it is to live in spirit and understand the spiritual world that we live in. And I'm here to give you the mysteries so that you would know God closer. He's not a picture. He's not beads. He's not a man. He's not anyone other than a spirit that lives and dwells with inside of each and every one of us. It's sometimes difficult for others to know who he is, especially when they're at a verge of hopelessness, because hopelessness steals your relationship with God. How many people realize that without hope, you have no God? There's people out there that are literally cutting themselves just trying to get a feeling. And I want to reach those. I want to reach those that are on the verge of suicide. I didn't come for the well. You know, if your life is doing fine and, you know, you don't think you need God and, you know, but I'm going to tell you right now, God isn't for the weak. God is for the strong. You have to really be strong to know God. You can't be weak because God's going to have you do far beyond what you can comprehend or even imagine. God is going to take your life and tell you to walk away from this life and then have a new life for you to start. And that becomes very, very difficult. And in that, you become born again. And in that born-again experience, there's a thing that comes against us, and it's called fear. And I want to talk about fear today because fear has been around since the foundations of the world. When God gave instructions to Adam and Eve, which is the beginning of our creation, at least written, and we know by spirit, they hid. After a while, they hid because they realized somehow or another they did something and they were naked and they ended up hiding because they were afraid. So there's an example of fear creeping around since the foundations of the world. And we battle fear every day. How many of us battle fear every day? We wake up all of a sudden, we're afraid. And fear comes in different ways. It comes through worry, and it comes in from uncertainty. But when we know God and the true living God, and we believe in God through faith, we can overcome fear. And I'm hoping and praying that we'll be able to have the knowledge, the glory knowledge, to be able to believe in God and trust in God in ways where we can overcome fear. And that overcoming fear is perfect love. Where's the perfect love come in? Trying to believe in something and see, love something that is totally not seen by eyes, but seen by spiritual eyes and inspirations, and knowing by signs and wonders and miracles. Because you can't know our God, my God, unless signs and wonders and miracles are happening in your life. It's impossible. So that's why I pray that, especially with these prayer cloths, and they truly carry signs and wonders and miracles, those that have doubts and want to know God, log in and try to get a hold of us for one of these. We'll mail them out to you or what have you, and I guarantee God will do a miracle in your life, and you'll be able to see him in your life. But moving forward, battling fear is probably one of the most difficult things that we can overcome, because we have a way of seeing things that are not the way God sees things. God has already placed the life inside of you, and he's already given you an inspiration or a vision or a hope. And then what happens is we look at the carnal things around us, and we look at the impossibilities. We start looking at, as our testimony for the offering, we start looking at the money. We start looking at all these different areas in our lives that we say, we don't have it. And then what happens is we begin to create imaginations. How many of us have already tried to foresee the future? It'll never work. How am I going to do this? Oh, we don't have the money. I don't have the relationships. I can't find, you know, this, or where am I ever going to find that? And, you know, I want to tell you that you have every right to think and feel that way. It's natural. There's nothing wrong. What we need to do is repent. You know, our forefathers in this book, it's called the Bible. I love this book. It's the book that confirms what happened in my life. And it's really the only book that I have found that really bears witness of what my experience was. And so I want to just share that even in that book, there was, in order to find the kingdom of God, we had to come to a place of repentance. And repentance is not saying sorry for all your bad things. And somehow or another, we were brought up in that weird, goofy lie that, oh, you better repent, meaning you better say you're sorry. And that is not true. Repentance is really meaning changing the way you're thinking right now. You're thinking negative, you're thinking death, you're thinking that it'll never happen. You know, you're scared, you're looking at the unknown, you know, you're unsure about things. And like I said, you have every right to feel that way. So don't feel guilty feeling that way. I don't want you to feel bad or guilty of feeling that way. You have every legal, natural right. But we're chosen people to live in the supernatural. We're chosen and separated to be able to live with God, who is supernatural, who does far beyond what you can comprehend or even imagine. But we're not repenting. We're not changing the way we're thinking. And so we're trying to have a relationship with, you know, our supernatural universal God in a carnal way. And our minds need to be transformed and stop, you know, thinking the carnal way and begin to walk by faith, which faith is supernatural. It's like a chemical reaction. Without faith, you can't bring into existence that don't exist. Without faith, you cannot resurrect the dead. Without faith, you can't bring things, you know, in your favor, so to say. If we're naturally making decisions based on, you know, what we have and what we don't have, we're going to fall short of His glory. We're never going to know the glory of God if we don't walk without provisions, because God wants to provide. He wants to show us and the world that He's our provision and that He's our strength, and He leads us and guides us. But how is that possible if we're the ones that are putting everything in order? We become the leader. We become the one that makes the final decision. Okay, I got, you know, enough now. I can move forward. And then ultimately, who really gets the glory? You know, you can give God more glory by saying, well, I don't have it, so let's go, Lord. Let's do it together. And then all of a sudden it comes. There's no way that you can take any of the glory. You got to give all the glory to God. He wants all the glory. But when you, you know, sit down there and say, you know, well, let me put a little bit here, and let me put a little bit there, and let me put a little bit there, and let me put a little bit there, and plan for it, then, you know, deep down inside, you're going to say, well, you know, I used the wisdom. Thank God He gave me the wisdom, but I ended up, you know, putting the money aside, and I ended up, and you're going to find yourself I involved. Where if you say, well, I wasn't even involved at all, and I just walked with God, and God provided, He opened the doors, He made it happen, He did it, then you're giving God glory. You're living in that supernatural place. And that's where God wants. He wants us to honor Him supernaturally. Now, I'm not saying to live foolishly. I'm not saying, you know, just don't count the cost. But what that truly means, count the cost, know that it's going to be a sacrifice. Know that it's going to be difficult. Know that, you know, you might have to put some things aside that you normally like to do or what have you. There's a sacrifice there that we have to make. And that's why it says count the cost. That's why the reason is it says count the cost. A lot of times when God knocks on our door, you know, we look at sacrifice. And a lot of times we don't like to lay things down or sacrifice. A lot of times we want to have all the provisions and everything and still follow the will of God, so to say. But remember, our life is contrary to God's life. God's life has a total different plan and a total different purpose than ours. We grew up in the natural. We didn't repent. We had the world influencing us in what we felt and thought the way to go. Not so much as a younger person. At a younger person, you don't have the weight on your shoulders as an older person. But as we begin to get older, you know, it's harder to walk in that place of the supernatural because you have, responsibilities. I know even in my own life, it was really difficult for me to walk into the full-time in ministry. I was like, I'm losing my head. This is nuts. I'm going to have to, you know, forsake everything. But then I said to myself, my God, I'm over here preaching faith, and then I'm going to be the biggest hypocrite over here worrying about tomorrow. I can't worry about tomorrow. I have to walk by faith and believe that God is going to direct my life and direct my footsteps. Well, He's been doing supernatural things in my life that I would have never saw if I didn't say yes. How am I going to see God and see the supernatural if I didn't take that, so to say, walk by faith? It's not going to happen. Now, I can make all the excuses, and I have almost 13 years making a lot of excuses. But I can't go back and say, I wish I didn't make those excuses. I mean, I can't control yesterday, but I can control tomorrow by casting down the imaginations that are in my head. Now, we all have imaginations, amen? All of us are trying to rob us about tomorrow. All of us think negative. That's just life. That's just the natural way of life. I think the world understands the negative powers, and that's why there's like groups out there that are like positive thinkers. And if you can just think positive, you know, and keep going forward and just think positive, you know, that works to a point. And then it gets to a certain level where you can't think positive anymore on your own. You need something higher, something of a higher power, a universal God like what we serve, a God who loves everyone around the world. It's not a religious God. It's not a culture God. It's a God that dwells in us. And if we're true to this God, he's true to us. And we have to move and operate with our unction, I call it. It's called the anointing. I'll speak more again on the anointing because I think it was about a year ago since I spoke about the anointing. And the world needs to understand what the anointing is. It's a perception. It's an unction. It's an inspiration. It's a power drink that when we submit to it, it opens up a new world. Faith. It's connected with it. And that anointing is inside of you. Each and every one of us has an anointing that we have to learn how to tap into it and drink it. I can't tell someone how to live in their anointing. Unless God opens up my eyes and gives me an oracle word, then yeah, I can speak into their life and bring, you know, life to their life. But the majority of the world aren't gifted with that, so they can't really tell you your anointing. You have to know your anointing and walk in your anointing. And your anointing is simply your conviction. You know, what is it inside of you that you love, your passion, your hope, your dream? What is it that's in you? And then you have to go for it. You need to really make a decision. Do you want to live or do you want to die? And that's really what it comes down to, life or death. And the life that you live is inside of you. Now, you might be living that life. You might already be set and, you know, you found that life already. That's wonderful. Now just build the relationship with God within your everyday challenges. But there are some that are just completely lost and completely dry and completely thirsty. And they just need to understand this anointing. Like, for example, I see my wonderful brother, Kurt, who is a pastor in this ministry. He's sitting in his anointing right now. Until God works on him and anoints him more, he's content in that realm, and he's at perfect place in God. Now he just builds his relationship with God in his everyday challenges. You know, how to work with his family, how to work with his wife and children, and the others around him and all that, and speak into people's lives and build and edify those that need that ministry of God and the work of God and everything. But then you look at another individual who is so dry and so thirsty and walking dead. They don't know their purpose. They're over here trying to feel themselves, and they need a life. Now you have two individuals who are seeking and knowing God. One is dry and thirsty and dying. The other one's living the life content and knowing God more, feeding and edifying others. I know in myself, I had to find my anointing. him and I were alike, but I was dry, I was thirsty, I was dying inside, and I had to take that step of faith in that anointing. You know, God changes your world. Understand this. And some of us here and some of those that are listening around the world might have been in that content place, but now all of a sudden their world is changing. That's because God's anointing you again. You know, we go from glory to glory to glory to glory to glory. Don't rush the glory that you're in. Don't go to, I want to go more, you know. No, stay content in that glory. You know, when God begins to start leading and directing us, you'll know we don't want to go before him. We want to be anointed when we walk in him. But there are those that are being anointed who are dry, who are thirsty. Let's be honest. Who are dry and thirsty here? Come on, let's be real. There's an area inside of us that kind of seems confused. There's a part inside of us that seems lost. Okay, I want you to know that they are natural feelings. Now, someone who is dry and thirsty and hungry is going to have a real hard time talking to somebody who's not dry and thirsty and hungry. They're going to be like, just get over it. You'll be fine. Just pray a little more, or, you know, keep looking for God. But someone who's dry and thirsty and hungry can really relate to someone who's dry and thirsty and hungry. And I'm sharing this word with you because I understand what it's like to be dry and thirsty and hungry. And now I understand how to get that drink and how to get that meal and not be weary, because it's connected in the anointing, and God lives within the anointing, and he gives you the strength, he gives you the nourishment, he gives you the liquid to fill in that those empty places that are inside of us. And God has a way of waking us up. And so I truly believe that we need to just come into this place in our hearts to say, Lord, anoint me more. I truly believe she's growing in an anointing. I truly believe God is working on us. I came into this place today, and I'll tell you what, I couldn't even stand. There was a presence of God that was causing me to feel dizzy and woozy. And we have to realize when God starts changing your life, he anoints you and puts you in that state. And so moving forward, fear is going to come in and try to put all these imaginations in you. So once you start getting that feeling of being dry and thirsty, you start saying to yourself, you know, what is it that is making me feel this way? And then you start looking at your situation and you say to yourself, you know what? I'm tired of this. I really don't want to do this. I'm not happy with what I'm doing. I know that there's more out there. And I know that there are some individuals here that feel that way right now. You know, you might have provisions and all that, but you're saying to yourself, this isn't really what I want to do. And I want to encourage you to walk with God. I want you to begin to start coming into that place of being honest with yourself and saying, all right, Lord, I'm ready for the challenge. How many of us here are ready for the challenge? Seriously, ready for the challenge. And it's going to cost you everything. It literally is going to cost you everything. Are you willing to lose everything to find a life? Now, I could talk about salvation alone, okay? But your salvation is in your life, because you're not going to find salvation unless you live your life. It all comes together. This is why Jesus in this book, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Well, what happened was he had epiphany. And it happened when he read the book of Isaiah. But he had epiphany. And in that epiphany, he said to himself, you know what? I got to go in this direction. He was honest with himself. He finally came to a place of honesty. What is it that you like? What is it that you want? What is it? Don't take the cares of the world to dictate your life. Well, I need provisions. I need a house. I need to make enough money. So let me find something that's going to make me the money to do the provisions. You can't look at life this way. You can't look at life and have it lead and guide you in the cares and the concerns of this world. You have to say to yourself, what is it that's inside of me that I really want to do? What is your purpose? That's really what it comes down to. What is your purpose? Now, some of our purposes is just raising a family and supplying the family's need. There's nothing wrong with that. It doesn't have to be a great big purpose like, my purpose is to climb Mount Everest, you know? So I got a train and a cliff. No. It's about being honest. Coming into that place of honesty. Being real with yourself. What is it that you have a passion for? What is your purpose? And then to come into your purpose is the beginning of life. Jesus came into his purpose, and that was the beginning of his life. So he came into the way, the truth, and the life, and he followed it. Despite all circumstances, he followed it. He tore down imaginations. When he made that decision, what did he do? He went ahead and got baptized. All of a sudden, John the Baptist is like, yo, dude. You know, you're well anointed than I am. I don't have the deal to do you. And he was like, you don't understand. I have to do this to fulfill the Father's will. There was something inside of him that was leading and directing him, and he was just yielding to it, not letting the imaginations mess with his head. I mean, oh, man. I'm lowering myself down before John the Baptist. I'm supposed to be baptizing John the Baptist. You know, he didn't let these goofy lies come into his head. And then after he got baptized, then what did he do? He went into the desert. And then he was tempted by the desert, you know, all these things. And so there are going to be many, many challenges that are going to face us. And those challenges are based under fear. Well, we got to learn how to grab hold of fear and choke it. We got to learn how to grab fear and begin to understand that it's a lie. What's inside of you, what your passion is, what your purpose is truth. What do you enjoy? What brings you peace? What brings you, you know, joy? What brings you satisfaction, so to say? And you got to walk in it. Listen, this is how God works. You might not know your passion. You might not really quite understand the whole picture. But as soon as you begin to start walking in it, your eyes open up and start seeing other things that you never saw before. So for you to say, oh, I know exactly what my call is. I know exactly what my passion is. It ain't going to happen. I'm sorry. You're going to have to make a step. And then all of a sudden, a door opens up and you're going to be like, wow, I feel really good about this. And then you start seeing something different. You start realizing that there was something else you never, ever could possibly imagine. It's far beyond what you can comprehend. It's far beyond. God's purpose is far beyond what you think. That's why we got to just start walking with God. As soon as we start walking in that direction, as soon as we begin to start walking, you know, you might have to give up something. That right there is a step of faith. That right there is the beginning of bringing things into existence that don't exist. Now, there are some people that I do offer counsel for that may need a little jump start. Hey, I'm completely confused and I need a little bit of help. Well, I'm here. And that's why I want those that are listening around the world, please, I can speak into your life. I don't care if you're from China or if you're from Brazil or Australia or Indonesia or wherever you might be, I can speak to you and let that word bear witness. You'll be surprised. I know with this girl here, Michelle, she never thought, because of the lies that were in her head and how she submitted to certain things, she never thought, but yet it was deep inside of her that that's what she really wanted. And the only thing I did was bear witness to what she really wanted. And that's the true word of the Lord. That's the true oracles of God. God will never tell you something that you don't know, but it's buried deep inside. You have to go deep down in there to hear the voice of God. The oracles of God. Can you get me that water? So I want you to understand, pop that lid. My little girl here, she's helps me. I want you to understand that walking with God is not an easy task. It takes strength. It takes courage. It takes relationship. And this is why I say it's so important to walk with God so that you can have that relationship. I'm going to need another hit of that water. I guess the heat's getting to me. But, excuse me. Faith is something that is very unique. It's supernatural. And I don't expect anybody to really understand faith. And I don't really expect anybody to understand God. If you came to me and said, I understand faith and I understand God, I would have to look at you like I had three heads. Because 99.9% of the world out here don't know what faith is and don't know what God is. And I'm here to share with you faith in God. It is a challenge. It is a world that you don't know. It is a life that is so foreign to us. It goes against every thought and every pattern that we believe in. And it's completely 100% repentance. It's completely 100% changing the way you're thinking. It is the opposite. And God is completely the opposite of who you are. And to have a relationship with the true living God and to walk in faith, you have to flip yourself upside down. You literally have to count everything that you know as dung and throw it away and become born again. You can't bring in your old life and a new life together. It just doesn't work. It becomes a battle. How many people realize what a battle is? You're torn between two lovers. A lover of life and a lover of death. You really become born again. And it takes a lot of encouragement. It takes a lot of relationship with God, because that's the only thing that you can lean on. You need His strength. And that's why I say, how you feel and how hard it is, I understand. I know what it's like to live a life in God. When He knocks on your door, He wants to change your life completely. I want to offer time of ministry, because I feel that there are some people here that are just lost. Those that are listening over the website, you're lost, but I can't help you until you write in and tell me what your deal is. But there are some here that I want to minister to that are lost, that aren't sure which direction that they need to walk in and where they need to go. They're concerned and worried about family and, other things that are connected to their life. And they have to realize that they have to let certain things go, and they may not want to let things go. And I think it's important that I speak into your life so that this way you're at peace. And until you get that peace, you really can't move forward because you're battling with fear. You know, the word sets us free from fear. It allows us to know that we're not thinking wrong and we are thinking right. And it gives you the confidence to move forward so that you can go ahead and do the things that are deep inside that no one may not understand. And so I want us to just bow every head for a moment. And those that are listening, you can bow your head there now. And I'm asking for the Spirit of Truth to come in. I'm asking God to pour out His truth inside of us so that we're not deceived by powers that are unknown to us. These forces that are causing us to think and live a certain way and influence us to bow down and worship something that we're not worshiping. That we should be worshiping, I should say. You know, God wants us to worship Him, and He's a jealous God, and He don't want any other gods before us. And that God is really your heart, your unction inside of you. That God is the anointing that's inside of you. That God that I talk about is your life living inside of you. And what happens is we tend to worship another God. We tend to worship the God that brings fear, not perfect love, but a God that brings fear. We tend to worship a God that brings us trouble on unsettled waters and allows us to look at our abilities and allows us to look at ourself and our provisions. And then we begin to worship that God. It holds us back from those things that are far beyond what we can comprehend or even imagine. So, Father, I thank You, Lord. I thank You, Father, that You've put the Spirit of Truth inside of us right now, and that You're going to begin to minister to us and begin to guide us and lead us and direct us in all of our ways, Lord. Lord, I ask that You begin to open up these doors for those that receive the word and make a way where there is no way. Become real in their life because, Lord, they're going to hear things and they might say, well, I missed it. That was something deep inside of me that I had when I was younger, but now I'm at an age where I can't see it happening. The lies are going to come in, Lord, and You know it as well as I do, and that's why we're speaking this message, that You give them the strength to cast those lies down and let them know that this is an oracle of You, Lord. The word is coming straight from the throne room, and that this word is something that bears witness that's inside of them, and they can hold tight to it and never let it go. So, Father, I thank You, Lord. I pray now, amen and amen. Now, I want to say to those that, you know, may have to leave, the service is basically over, but at the same time, if you want a word from the Lord, stay so that I can offer that word to you. But the first thing I want to do is I want to bring up John, and I want to bring up Jerry, the two of you. Come on up here. I don't think that you quite know, but I'm going to tell you right now, the two of you are to be together in business. And you might... I know it's a freaking frat relationship here.